Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays at gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
I'm Derek Oliver, the CEO of Chaos Talk Radio. It is my privilege and honor to present Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary at Praise Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Bible study right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thursday night at 7 p.m., you can hear their Thursday night praise and worship service led by Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary. And also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., their praise and worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Also, you can listen to all the services by phone at 845-277-9094. You can also watch them on Facebook Live by going to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 11 a.m.
All right. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Chaos. Amen. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to all the listeners on tonight. Amen. We greet you in the name of Jesus. So glad that you're in on tonight. Just want to give a quick shout out to all of the homegrown, Atlanta Falcons fans. You know, we got a lot of ingrates, got a lot of people that done moved down here to Atlanta, to the Georgia area, and they somewhat hating on us, but we coming up, we rising up. So I just want to first give a shout out to all the Falcons. I know I got some Steeler fans on the line tonight, but you know, to the Falcon fans, just hang on in now. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. This is Praise Tabernacle Church. Tuesday night Bible study. We are officially located at 877 North Clayton Street in the beautiful city of Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. And as always, we have another great Bible study, another great teacher, our evangelist of the night. Amen. Y'all have been hearing her for the past since we've been doing this past 8 or 9 months. And I know she's one of your favorites to hear. So we're just not going to prolong the time. We do thank God for Elder Oliver, even though me and him don't see eye to eye when it comes down to the Falcons and the Steelers. You know, it's all good. It's all good. But that's my brother. So we thank God for him and his wife and all the sponsors, the engineers of Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Praise Tabernacle, all our elders and ministers, evangelists. We thank y'all so much for being on. I think I see Elder Bluette is on tonight. Not sure if Elder Taylor is in yet. My precious wife, I know she's on. So we're just here, and we're going to say a quick word of prayer. And the next voice you hear will be that of Evangelist Dove Stanton, and she's going to lead us on through Bible study on tonight. So, Father, we just thank you again. We magnify you, and we glorify your name, for we know that it's in you that we live, move, and have our being. And we just thank you for another golden opportunity to teach your word. And we pray tonight that someone's life is changed through the gospel on tonight, through the word on tonight. Someone's body is healed. Someone's mind is delivered. And we're just looking for life changes. And we know the only way for that to take place is through the word of God. And we just thank you for tonight. We just pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Evangelist Stanton, the service is in your hands.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. I am so excited to be with you all this evening. I'm so glad that you all are joining us on our Bible study on tonight. And tonight is really about an encouraging word. You know, I know that there's a lot of things going on in this day and time. And I have prayed and asked God to give me a word to just give to everybody. And I came to Psalms. Now, if you have read any of the Psalms, there are a lot of Psalms. There's many that I could have chosen, but this particular psalm kept coming to me. So tonight we're going to be digging into Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And I hope that you do have your Bible and have a pencil and a paper so that you can take notes, and then you can go back and study as we should. Don't just take my word for it, but you should also dig into the word yourself. So we're going to be going into Psalms 27. And while you are getting Psalms 27, I just want to kind of do a little education about Psalms. Psalm is a song or poem used in worship. David is the author of many of the Psalms. There were other authors besides David, but he did write a majority of the Psalms. A psalm, like I said, it's a book of songs. It's a book of praises. Some of these Psalms were written out of deep despair and questioning. Another thing about Psalms is it has the most verses of any book in the Bible, but it has no chapters. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say Psalms 124 or Psalms Division 124, but we don't call them chapters because they're not actually chapters. They are individual psalms or songs or poems. They are divided into five different books. And I wanted to let you know what the books were. Book one, which is Psalm number 1 through Psalm 41, is God Beside Us. Book one is God Beside Us. So that's what that first division, what it's made up of, is God Beside Us. That's Psalms 1 through 41. Then we go into book 2, which is Psalms 42 through 72. And in this one, God Going Before Us, it deals with God going before us. That's Psalms 42 through 72. Then we have book 3. That's going to be Psalms 73 through 89, and it is God Around Us. Book 3 is God Around Us, Psalms 73 through 89. Then we have Book 4, Psalms 90 through 106, and it focuses on God Above Us. For Psalms 90 through 106, it focuses on God Above Us. And then our last book is Psalms 107 through 150, and it focuses on God Among Us. That's Book 5. So I just want to kind of give you, because I know sometimes people, I've heard people say chapter 5, but the Psalms are not actually chapters, they're songs. And you may, if you've ever read some of the Psalms, you may have even heard some of the artists, gospel artists, sing some of the Psalms. And that's exactly what's going on. So tonight, this is for those who are experiencing anxiety about the future of something you may be going through right now, or you're just not sure. It's going to be a reminder that God has got you covered, got you covered. So we are going to begin with Psalms 27, and it reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And I just want to start with that first, that Psalms 27 and 1. And David, at this time, he may have been going through something. I like David because David was a real person. You know, if you know the story of David and all the things that he did and the imagination he had, David was a real person because he constantly stayed in repentance. He had a heart after God because he was like, God, clean me up, clean up my heart. He was constantly going after God. He was going through a lot of war, and people were after him, but he would still go after God. And he was correctable. If somebody were to say something to David like, you live in a foul life, David would be like, okay, I need to get this right. And that's a great example to us today. You know, if somebody sees something that's not right, and they tell us, instead of us getting mad, we should go to God and say, okay, God, maybe I do need to clean some stuff up. So I that's one thing I love about David. You know, he would get into the presence of God with praise and worship because he knew that he had to try to get it right. So, and it encourages, you know, as we walk this walk, we're not going to be perfect, but we should seek the will of God daily, every moment, every second. We should try to submit and surrender our lives unto God every second, every moment, so that we can live for him and we won't allow worry and fear and anxiety to be at the forefront of our lives. So let's start with Psalms 27 and 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I looked at just the beginning where he says, the Lord. David called him Lord. Now, God goes by many names. He could be teacher. Jesus could be teacher or Messiah. But Lord means that he's the ruler and the master over his whole life, not just part of it, but he's the ruler, and he has given Christ control over his entire life. So that's why he's calling him Lord. He's saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Like many psalms, King David wrote this from a season of trouble, yet it is a song of confidence and triumph. One thing about light is it lights a room. It lights your path. And David was singing, you're lighting my path. You're giving me the way that I need to go. I can't do it in darkness. I have to do it with that light. And you're my salvation. You're saving me from my enemies. You're saving me from walking around with that anxiety and that fear and that doubt. That's what God is saving him from. And then it's like he has a cord here. Christ is not only his light and his salvation, but he's also his strength. You don't have to fear anybody when you have Christ. Let me say that again. You don't have to fear anybody or anything when you have Christ. I don't know about you, but I remember before I had Christ, I would walk in fear. I did. I walked in fear and doubt of how things were going to work out, how things were going to turn around, how was I going to meet the needs, because I thought I was the one that had to do it when I didn't have Christ as Lord over my life. I thought I was the one that had to bring things together, but it wasn't me having to bring things together. But when I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, then I didn't have to walk in that fear. I didn't have to walk in that doubt. And Christ became my strength. He became the strength of my life. For when I was weak, he would strengthen me. So I didn't have to be afraid. Does anyone have anything to say before we move on to number two?
I'm enjoying it.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
I'm enjoying it also. Yeah. No, keep going. Keep going.
Amen. There's one thing I noticed about, you know, David. David is a very skilled and experienced warrior. He must have been a man of impressive physical strength, but yet he knew the Lord was his strength. So Christianity is not something just for a weak person or a weak-minded person. Because David was very skilled. He was a warrior. So he had to have been somebody of great stature. But he understood that the Lord was the strength of his life. And that's what Christ is calling to be in our lives, the strength of our life, so that you don't have to walk in that fear. Verse 2. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. David expresses confidence that his enemies will not succeed. His enemies will not succeed. They will surely fail. In fact, they are certain to fail. They are certain to fail. How many things in your life can you say, if you don't know Christ on tonight and you're listening, or maybe you do know Christ, but you haven't exercised that relationship with him, and you begin to look at things around you, and you think to yourself, oh, my God, things are falling apart. You may have even said that to yourself or questioned yourself. But if you have that assurance that things will not fail in Christ, there is a peace that you can walk around with. David indicates these are not just his enemies, but there are also God's enemies as well.
Mm.
It is therefore that they will stumble and fall. They are not going to succeed. If they're your enemies and God's enemies, God has got you covered. He has got you covered. I love that. It says, even though they came upon me, they may come upon you to try to eat up your flesh, but they will stumble and fall. So you don't have to have a fear that if it does come upon you that it's going to succeed. It's going to stumble and fall. Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this would I be confident. This right here is a psalm. It presents the idea that David has no reason to fear, thanks to knowing God. David expressing the fact that he doesn't have to walk in that anxiety. It doesn't mean that it won't happen. There may be times when you get that way, but you don't have to walk in it. You don't have to allow it to lay upon you. You don't have to allow it to stay there and rest in it. You rest in the assurance that God has you. Faith, as expressed in the Bible, is a trust in the faith and uncertainty
That's what faith is. And his faith in the Lord is his light, his salvation, and his strength would not lag, even if an army laid around him. Even if you see things going on around you and you're not quite sure what the outcome is going to be, you can still be calm in the midst of the storm. You can be the eye of the storm where the most calm part is, even though things around you is going on. You can still have peace. And I love the Psalms because they're different songs to encourage you in time of. I want to encourage everybody that's listening on tonight. Don't focus on the things that are happening. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on God. Realign your focus, because even in the middle of war, if you keep your focus on God, that's going to strengthen you to get you through. That's what's going to keep you going. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David's top priority in his life was his relationship with the Lord. Tonight I want to ask you, what's your top priority? What do you put first? What do you have at the top? What does your mind go to immediately? What does your heart go to immediately? What's your priority on tonight? What's your desire? Is it the desire to seek the will of God? Is it the desire to keep him at the forefront? What's your desire on tonight? Does anyone have anything to say before we move on to verse 5?
Yeah, if I could get in, my sister, God bless you. You're doing such a great job tonight. I could just really sit and listen. But my mind went back to David seemingly always had a way of, I guess I could use the word retrospect. He always looked back and was reminded and reminded others on what God had done for him and who God was in his life. And you talked about the battles and the wars and things he fought. And just to add to that, it wasn't just the outside that David had to fight against. David had to fight against his own house. You know, based on that was one of the consequences that God spoke through the prophet Nathan concerning David. You know, the sword will not depart from your house. In other words, you know, it was more than just David having to be bothered with the other countries, you know, the other people that was around. But it was his children that rose up against him. You know, there was a lot of turmoil because of David's actions. It caused a lot of turmoil in the family. And we, as men, especially men, we have to be mindful on what we do, because those things really can affect our families in a negative way. You know, our behavior, you know, the way we treat our spouse, our wives, the way we treat our children, you know, can have a positive or negative effect that lasts for generations, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad, you know, it was so bad for David that Christ, you know, Christ had to come on the scene, you know, to make right where David went wrong, you know. So we want to be careful and like David, have a retrospect of saying, if God has did it before, then he's able to do it again. You know, when he was getting ready to fight Goliath, you know, everyone else was saying, boy, you ain't nothing but a little boy. You know, and he's a man of war from his youth. But David said, you know, I understand that, but I remember when I was taking care of my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came, and God, you know, allowed me to fight them off. In other words, let's remember what God has already done. Sometimes we get caught up in what we want God to do, and we miss praising him for what he's already done. You know, we're constantly, well, God, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And God, you know, I can imagine, you know, God sit there and say, well, you haven't gave me any praise. You ain't thanked me for healing your body the last time. You know, so great teacher tonight, my sister. I'm enjoying this. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Pastor. Thank you. Does anyone else on the panel have anything to say?
I do want to say great teachings, and it's just confirmation that in my readings this morning, it took me to Psalms 27. So that's just confirmation. And the reason it took me to Psalms 27 was I was reading out of Acts chapter 17, and I was at verse 28 of Acts 17, where it says, "For in him we live and move. And have our being, as certain also of our own, of your own poets have said. For we also, as his offspring." And I was thinking, and you haven't got to the verse that God gave me this morning, but I'm gonna wait until you get to that verse. But absolutely great.
Praise God. We're going to verse 5. We're at Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And during David's time, the tabernacle was still movable. God's house was still a tent. Basically, it was a tent. Even so, the location was sometimes called a temple. His son Solomon built the first permanent sanctuary, which was the true temple of God. But David considered the tabernacle the equivalent of God's protection. He would feel safe in that tabernacle. His enemies would not be able to reach him there. But our tabernacle today is Christ. We're believers in Christ, and we are covered by him. He's our covering. So we have to know that in the time of trouble, we can run into him. We can run into our tabernacle wherever we are. I mean, yeah, you may have a place at home where you pray, but I thank God I don't have to wait until I get home. If I'm in my car and I'm feeling like I'm in the time of trouble, I can run in to be covered by my safety. I thank God that it's wherever we at. We don't have to go to a church, a building, because Christ is with us wherever we go, and he's going to hide me. He should set me upon a rock. Now, Christ is the solid rock, and that's what we are set upon when we are set in him, the solid rock. So we have a place to go to wherever you at, even at the store. It doesn't matter if I'm in the grocery line and I just need to pray, I can go ahead and pray. I don't have to pray out loud where other people hear me. I can submit and surrender myself to God wherever I'm at. And I thank God for that, because That was his safety. That was a reminder that in the time of trouble, whatever you're going through, whatever you're going through, there is nothing too big, nothing too hard, nothing too small, nothing too little for God. Nothing. We can run in and be safe because he's our solid rock. Verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Praise confuses the enemy. Praise confuses the enemy. Confidence that he will triumph over all his enemies does not inspire David to take credit for victory. Instead, he joyfully offers sacrifices to the Lord and sings unto the Lord. Have you given your thank you offering today? Have you given your thank you offering today?
That's good.
What have you given to God today? I just want you to think about your day. What have you given God? Think about your job. You may have gotten up, got ready for work. You went to work and you gave to your employer, yourself, your time, your energy. You gave that to your employer. You may have got off of work. You got in your car. You gave yourself to driving home. You got home. You may ate dinner, cooked dinner, even purchased dinner. You gave yourself to sit down and eat that meal. What have you given God today? Do you not know that God kept you? If you're listening right now, you're blessed because you're alive. You're blessed because you have strength. You're blessed because you have health to be listening right now. Have you given your thank you offering today? We've talked about this before. Thank you can go a long way. And a thank you to God is definitely something that we should do on a regular basis. I know when I was little and I was growing up, if somebody did something for one of us, my mom would always say, did you say thank you? She would always remind us, did you say thank you? And we would have to say thank you. So I want to ask you tonight, did you say thank you? Have you opened up your mouth and said, God, I just thank you for life and health and strength. I thank you for keeping my family. I thank you that for food to eat. I thank you that I had transportation. I thank you that I may not have the money in the bank that I want, but I thank you what I have because you're meeting every need. Have you said thank you?
Thank you, Lord.
We've got to be mindful. See, he says, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And his head, he said, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And even though you may be surrounded with enemies, you can be lifted above them by opening up your mouth and giving praise. Sacrifices of joy, telling God, thank you. It lifts you above the situation. You don't have to cuss out your enemies. Go above that. I ministered recently on you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. So when you come upon your enemies, just because you can tell them off doesn't mean you need to tell them off. Just because you can say the most swift thing to come out of your mouth don't mean you need to. What you need to do is redirect all of that anger and that energy and say, God, I thank you that you're keeping me. Because guess what? God has got you. God has got you. Before we go on to verse 7, does anyone have anything to say? If not, we're going to go on to verse 7. It says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. After expressing reasons to be fully confident in God's protection, David pleads the Lord to answer his prayer. Perhaps at this time he saw the enemy bearing down on him. Maybe his eyes were even more focused on his enemy than the Lord. He simply appealed to the Lord to be gracious to him and answer him. Sometimes when we're going through, we may cry out. And I don't know about you, maybe a time or two I've maybe even said, God, have you heard me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? But I know that he does. It just may be my waiting time at that time. It may be my waiting time. It may be a time right now you're wondering if God even heard your prayer. He has. But it just could be your waiting time. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a no or denial, but it may not be the time. And that's okay. We have to learn how to wait on God. You don't have to fear, just have to wait. I know sometimes it could be a little, you know, perplexing to wait. I used to always say wait, W-A-I-T, is the four-letter Christian cuss word because we don't want a W-A-I-T.
Good.
You know, we want the N-O-W. We don't want the W-A-I-T. But there's some things that we do just have to wait on. Does anyone have anything to say about this verse 7?
No, that's good. I like that.
Okay, we're going to go on to verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Too often we try to seek the hand of God. And when I say seek the hand of God, we want the blessings without the relationship. We want the blessings without the relationship.
That's
see,
right.
When you seek the face of God, that's seeking a relationship. That means you're taking time out to know who he is, and not just trying to seek the hand of God with the blessing. God, I want this, I want that. No, get into the presence of God. The relationship, that's what we should build with God, is the relationship. That makes the difference. To seek God's face is to strongly desire his presence. And in order to do that, we need to read the word of God, study the word of God, praise and worship, take time to get by yourself with him, be quiet, and listen to what he has to say for direction, so that he can be that light, that lamp unto your feet to give you direction, to pray out your heart, to pray for others, to pray for your family members, to pray for this land, this nation, this country, to take time out. We have to do that. We have to do that. Seek the face of God, a relationship. Just like, you know, there may be someone of you on here that's married or in a relationship right now, wanting to get married. Something that's very important is knowing who your spouse is. You know, my husband knows when he goes to if he goes to grab something to eat on the way home, he already knows that I don't like mustard on my sandwich. He won't come home with a sandwich that has mustard on it because he knows that I don't like that, because we have a relationship. And it's like that with Christ, with God. What do you know about God that God likes? What does he know about you that you like? If you have a relationship, you will know those things. If you have a relationship, you will know his voice. A relationship, you will hear when he says, no, I need you to go a different direction. It takes time to build that up, just like a marriage. It took time to learn. You're still learning. There's still things that you may not know. There's still times when you look at them and be like, whoa, I didn't know that about you. Or they may tell you about stories that happened to them when they were growing up, and you think, wow, I didn't know that.
That's right.
That's you're seeking a relationship with that person. Pastor, you have anything you want to say?
My sister, can y'all still hear me?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Let me go back. You talked about the waiting room. I mean, about waiting, and you said that it seemed like that's a curse word for the believers.
Yeah. Wait is a four-letter Christian cuss word because they don't want a W-A-I-T, they want the N-O-W.
I like that. And when you said that, I thought about, you know, the hospital, and there's a waiting room. And what the doctors do and the nurses, first of all, you got to register in and all that. And they're the one, no matter how bad you think you're feeling, they're the ones that determine how quick you get back to be seen. And, you know, and based on what they feel the urgency is and what you or whatever's going on with you, you know, the doctor will speed it up, you know, to get you on back there. But if there's someone else that's going through something that's a little more dire, you know, they'll see that person first. And sometimes, you know, you could already be there. You could have been waiting, but they may skip you to get to someone else that's in more, you know, that's in more of a dire need. So we have to be mindful of that, even when it comes down to the things of God. You know, just because we think we need it right now, that doesn't mean God, you know, thinks the same way. You know, he knows everything. And I was talking to a young lady the other day, and I was just sharing with her. She made the statement, she said, Pastor, pray for me because I need patience. I need patience. Mm-hmm. I said, girl, I say, I don't know if you know what you're asking for. If you're praying and asking God for patience, that means he's got to allow you to get into some situations that's going to work you and that's going to build your patience. So a lot of times we asking God for stuff that we really, you know, we really don't want. We just, you know, it may just sound good, you know, but when you ask for certain things, you know, God is faithful and he's just. He will allow, he'll allow things to come your way to build your faith, to build your patience, you know, so we just want to be mindful of that. But I, when you was talking about that weight, that W-A-I-T, I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth. So, yeah, that's all I got.
And I think even the scripture says patient worketh tribulation. So that means
that's right.
Tribulation. Yeah, tribulation is going to come, but you can learn to be patient. So you're right, Pastor.
That's
watch what you're saying.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, hide not thy face far from me. Put thy servant away in anger. I really think scripture, and the only time I really think for God to hide his face would mean that he is pleased with us. But the one he doesn't want to look at that sin when we sin. He sees everything that we do. Everything. And David knows that God is with him, yet in experiencing fears and anxiety, his response to those emotions is not panic or despair, but trusting appeal to God. He's like, God, please don't leave me. Don't forsake me, O God of my salvation. And I thank God that he doesn't. What happens a lot of times is in our own sin, we turn our back on God. We turn around from him because of shame and guilt. But God never leaves us. God's desire is for us to repent, to come with a broken heart and fall before him in his presence and say, God, forgive me. And you know what? He will. And he does. Because he loves you so much. He loves you. And his desire is that you would repent. His desire is that you would turn away from that sin. His desire is that you would walk in love and forgiveness, desire for you. So it's up to you. It's up to you. Because I thank God that he won't leave you. But I guess David, in crying out, he was like, please, don't leave me. And I don't know if you've ever been in that place, in that position, in that desperation where it's like, you know, everything is breaking loose and you're like, God, please don't leave me. God is right there with you. He's right there with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if you just continue to do what you're doing over and over again and you think, oh, I'm good, I'm cool, I can just repent. No, that you're going into a whole nother level. You're going into a whole nother level then. But if you sincerely come before God with a broken and contrite heart and spirit, sincerely come before him saying, you know what, God, forgive me. God will forgive you, and he'll be there right there with you. He's faithful like that. Verse 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You will never be by yourself, even if your family has turned their back on you. You will never be by yourself. Now, this scripture right here doesn't necessarily mean that David's parents actually abandoned him. But he's just saying that even if they did, I know that the Lord will take me up. This is for
some of you who may have made the decision to live for Christ and your family is not understanding the decision, you know, because they know you. They feel like, oh, yeah, right, this is just something else. But you sincerely decide that you have decided to change some of your ways or change your ways and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And maybe they're just not there right now. I want to let you know that you're not by yourself. The Lord will take you up. The Lord will take you in. The Lord will be your mother. The Lord will be your father. The Lord will be your sister, your brother. He'll be a friend like no other. You are not by yourself. There may be days that you feel all alone, but you are not by yourself. He's right there with you. And I just want to encourage you on tonight to live the life of Christ, even especially in front of those who have decided not to. Live the life of Christ because they're watching you. And by you keeping that relationship with Christ, even in spite of them leaving you, you can actually change their life. So you keep living it. You keep walking it. Elder, you have something you want to say?
I do. That's my verse right there. That's my verse right there, verse 10. When I was studying this morning or reading this morning, over in Acts 17, verse 27 to 28. So verse 27 of verse Acts 17 say that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. But in him we live and move and have our being. And it made me go over to Psalms 27 and go directly to verse 10 of Psalms 27, when it says, "My father and my mother, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And I was just thinking about my history of my life, how God has almost pampered me in my life, to where I had to bury my father, I had to bury my mother, I had to bury my younger brother, and I even had to bury one of my grandsons. And it made me think back on what to say to people, without even mentioning that they're gone. The Lord had gave me this morning that there's nothing else we can do for them that are gone in our life. So when my mother and my father forsook me, the Lord picked me up. The Lord gave me a will to live. The Lord gave me a will to do right. The Lord gave me, and it's just like, and if you look at that, and we never quote all of that that verse in Psalms, I mean in Acts 17, at verse 28. We never quote the whole verse. So I'm going to quote the whole verse. But in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. See? And you had mentioned poets. You had in Psalms, you had mentioned songs today and what the book of Psalms is about, of giving praise to God. And it is so relevant that God gave me this morning, or he had me just turn here this morning. And here you are giving me confirmation that I can trust God even more, that he's speaking to me. I can trust him even more that he's got my back. Yeah. I can trust him even more that even though others see me, he has me. I'm an offspring of the child. I'm an offspring of God. And my brother is Jesus Christ, who is all powerful. But it just gave me confirmation. I don't mean to go this long, but it just gave me confirmation of what I was reading this morning, going through my mind. And we have to pay particular attention to those who are yet to die, because the dead can't exercise their faith. The dead can't exercise what they believe in God. So we have to exercise our faith and our excitement about God to those who are yet still living. So when they get in a state of mind where they can do no more, they have to be prepared to be in that state of mind and wait for the judgment. So Yeah, go. Evander Stanton, that was real good. I appreciate you. I'll go on all about you. Go ahead. I appreciate
that's good. But second time, I'm gonna go verses 10, 11, 12, down to 14, and then I'll close it out. It says, when my verse 11. Teach thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart, I say, on the Lord. I just want to encourage everybody on tonight. I know too often we want an immediate response, an immediate answer to our prayers, but the Lord is never in a rush. He may not answer us immediately, but he has promised to give us an answer. Waiting on the Lord is supposed to draw us closer to him, not farther from him. I want to encourage you to wait on the Lord by waiting at the door with prayer. Wait at his foot with humility. Wait at his table with service. Wait at his window with expectancy. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And with that, Pastor, I'm going to turn it back to you, sir.
All right. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. What a great lesson. What a great lesson on tonight. Before we close, I mean, what a great word. Who's that? Elder Bluette, I know you just talked, Rabbi. Do you have any final, you got any final words you would like to say on tonight?
I want to say that if we would seek his face, meaning, as she said, the relationship of God, the testimony of David can be your testimony. And then you will fully understand why you said in the book of Psalms. We're going to get in trouble. We're going to have some issues. But we have to know how to repent and ask God for forgiveness. We're not perfect. And we'll never be perfect until the day we die. So seek the Lord with all your strength. He will guide you. He will keep you. And whatever falls out of our life, God is able to pick it up and turn things around. So just trust in the Lord with all you have.
All right. Thank you so much, my brother. Elder Taylor, I know you slipped on in. Elder Taylor, you got any words you want to say?
No, Pastor. I think Rabbi pretty much nailed it for me. But it was a great word tonight, Evangelist Ben. I wasn't sure if y'all could hear me or not. But it was, I was trying to comment a couple of times, but I guess y'all couldn't hear me. But great word tonight, Evangelist Stanton. It confirms a lot of things for me and what we're dealing with in my household as well. So this is an on-time word tonight, and I really appreciate you hearing from God on this. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, I tell you, God bless you. You know, it's just funny how God knows what we need, when we need it, and he knows how much of it that we need. And the word of God is quick, meaning it's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Cuts from the marrow to the bone. It cuts from one way or the other. The word of God, wherever we are in our lives, we can trust that the word of God can meet us right where we are. I don't care who you are, whoever listening from all over the world, there is a word for your situation, and everything you need is in the Word of God. And we're grateful on tonight. Evangelist Stanton, once again, great job as always. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Praise Tabernacle, thank you so much again for your support, your love and support. Chaos Blog Talk Radio, thank y'all so much. Meet us back here on Thursday night. Amen. Meet us back here on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And then this Sunday, meet us back Sunday morning. We will officially be returning back to our building with a slow enactment, or whatever the word is, slow return. I guess that's what it is. On this Sunday, we'll have our praise team, our musicians in, and our media team and our nurses for the next three Sundays. And then beginning in December, we will start our scheduling of our saints and everyone else, friends and family that would like to come and fellowship with us. Amen. We will continue our Thursday nights here at my home, in our home studios, but our Sunday morning services starting this Sunday will be back live in our sanctuary. So just continue to keep us lifted up in prayer. Amen. We have so many on our prayer list. We will be calling those names out on Thursday night. Once again, Elder Oliver, we thank you. We appreciate you for all that you've done for us, and we're so glad to have the Oliver family as a part of our team, as part of our family, and we're grateful to God for you guys. So let's give the benediction, and then tune back in on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Chaos Blog Talk, YouTube Live, and Facebook Live. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. Thank you for another opportunity to teach your word, and we pray now that you will continue to bless your woman servant, bless her husband, bless their family. We thank you for every listener. We thank you for every member and friend of Praise Tabernacle Church. And God, we pray that you help us to endeavor to have that love that runs from heart to heart and from breath to breath. God, we don't want to just be hearers of the word, but we want to be doers also. And as we leave this place for never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you.